The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. Jesus said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to the judge and saying, "Grant me justice even against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later the judge said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Former biblical scholar William Barclay, who's done lots of work on the Old and New Testament, told a story about a faithful servant girl, and it comes from the days when domestic servanthood started when you were about 13 or 14 years of age, and you would work all day and even into the night. The young woman said that because of all of her work, she had really little time to pray or practice her faith between Sundays, so she took the used morning newspaper to bed with her every night. She turned to the family notices column and she read the birth notices, and she prayed for those babies that had just come into the world. Then she flipped over to the marriage column and she prayed for true happiness for all the couples that were mentioned there. And then a few pages later to the death notices, and she prayed for God's comfort for all who mourned and all who were sad. Barclay said, "No one in this world would ever know the blessing of unknown people that came from this attic bedroom of this servant girl who was most of her life unnamed and unnoticed and unlooked at, and yet daily and nightly she prayed for people and angels unaware and unknown." Do you know that there are monk communities across the world that do this very thing? Their sole purpose in life is to pray for the needs of people they've never met. Imagine praying for people you've never met, praying for people that it's hard to pray for, praying for your enemies even, and not requiring anything in return. That young servant girl had so little time of her own. Her fingers were weary and worn, her knees were tired, her bones ached, but what she had was prayer, and she spent what little time she had doing that. It didn't matter to her that she didn't know the people. It didn't matter that she had people who were cynical about, "What good does that do? What a waste of spare time you have." She just persisted, and she just prayed. And she did so never losing heart, Barclay says. I don't know about you, but more often in my life than not, I don't know that I can relate to this young servant girl. I don't know that in my life my prayer works that well. If anything, I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I've got too much to do. Or if I'm really honest with myself, are you ready for this in church on a Sunday morning? Sometimes I don't want to pray for some certain people. Shock, I know, right? The bishop, a pastor, he has a hard time praying for some certain people. But if you're honest on a Sunday morning, choir too, think about it in your own life. Are there certain things or people that you have a hard time praying for? Now, I know that this is a Lutheran congregation and you're used to me talking and you not speaking back, but you can speak back. Do you have a hard time praying for people too? Choir? Pastor Travis, do you have a hard time praying for people? You see, that's the thing, friends. It's not about the fact that we could do it. It's about the fact that we should do it. That's the beauty of prayer. It's the persistence of prayer. It's the prayer that's hard to pray that God intercedes in that prayer for and with us, even when we might not know the ending or the result. just like that widow in our parable who was constantly bothering the judge. Don't you love that? And he relented because he was tired of this woman bothering him. Now, you have to know that back in those days, that the widow, which we don't know much about, we don't know her name, we don't know what her husband did for a living, we don't know if she was kept well off in her life after marriage and in his death, but what we do know is that something was wrong, and something wasn't right with her life, and she felt like injustice was happening, maybe to her, but maybe to other people around her, we don't know, and so she persisted in her own form of prayer by constantly going to the judge and putting a mirror in front of his face saying, "This is justice, my friend, and it's not just for you." More often than not, we always associate justice with just us. Justice is never justice unless it's equal and fair and friendly and given. You see, this young servant girl, she had determination. In fact, I admire her. It makes me want to encourage my own prayer life to be a little stronger. It makes me want to spend the rest of my afternoon thinking about why is it that I have a hard time praying for, and the list goes on. But she just didn't lose heart. You see, neither did the persistent widow. Where she might not have been told that she was the woman who prayed fervently, she didn't lose heart either. Did you hear that? It said she kept coming to the judge, meaning that she risked arrest. She risked persecution. She risked people being cynical. And it says that she kept persisting going to the judge. Persistence takes on the look of prayer and protest and proclamation. And for those who don't have justice, they're always seen as a bother to those who do. Often the world seems full of failed Christians. So often someone has said to me, "I know I shouldn't be afraid, Pastor. I know that I believe in Jesus, but I do have a loss of heart. And maybe I have to say it's not a failure of Christian faithfulness." Friends, it is more than okay. In fact, Jesus encourages it for you to name your fears. Nowhere in ever does Jesus say, "Don't be afraid of hospitalization. Don't be afraid of surgery. Don't be afraid of all these things. Don't be afraid of losing your faith." In fact, Jesus promises over and over, "I am with you always to the end of the age, no matter what." And yet sometimes I think that we equate being the best Christian with being the most pious and prayerful and never, ever, ever feeling like we have to doubt our faith. You see, faith is just that first stair on the staircase, knowing that we might fall, and yet God picks us up. Persistence in our prayer and our faith life is important because it shows us that no matter what we go through, God is in the midst of it. It's sometimes hard to see it, it's sometimes hard to feel it, but God is in the midst of it. And you may think, "That all sounds great, but there are times in my life where I just can't pray, when I just can't calm that rushing in my head, or the world is just too dark and heavy." This is where you use the advice of former presiding bishop H. George Anderson. Before he was ever a bishop, he was president of Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. His first wife died of cancer, and they had mandatory chapel every single day at the college. And so he felt obligated to go because it was mandatory. And if the president doesn't show up, the college kids certainly are not going to show up. And so he says he goes, and he says he feels like he just can't sing. And he can't pray, and he can't recite the creeds, and he can't take himself to communion, but he keeps going. And he said he realized that on the days where he couldn't sing, God's people sang for him. On the days he felt like he couldn't recite the creed, God's people recited that faith on his behalf. On the days he felt like he could not drag himself to the table, God's people helped to feed him. And then he said a few weeks passed, in a few months, and all of a sudden he realized he was singing, and he realized he was praying, and he realized he opened his hands to receive the Lord's sacrament, and then he said he looked over, and someone else wasn't able to sing. Someone else wasn't able to pray. Someone else wasn't able to receive Holy Communion, and he realized that's what it means to be part of the family of God. That's what it means to be a Christian on a journey. It's not about always getting it right. It's not always about having the most pious faith. It's about when we're at our weakest. We need one another in that weakness. We need one another to fuel those fires. We need one another to make that well which seems dry full up again. Behind all of our anxieties, and we all have them, behind all of our worries, and we all have them, there's a persistence that God calls to us. And when it says, do not lose heart, it actually says, do not stop remembering that God has placed you in God's heart, meaning that you're never without God, even when you feel far, far away. Faith does not insulate us from turmoil or human living. We know that to be true, don't we? But hope always comes hard. Praying always without losing heart is part of the struggle of our faith. It's a will determination that God can be relied upon even when I, the prayer, am too conscientious of my own hesitancy, or too worried that I'm saying all the right words, or too mindful that maybe I haven't done all the right things. God will work all that out in spite and despite of us. Thanks be to God on that one. Pastor Nadia Bowles Weber, who used to be the pastor of House for All Sinners and Saints in Denver, Colorado, she wrote about what lives of faith look like. She said, if we're honest, and we should be, there are times when faith feels like a friendship with God, but there are many other times when it feels more adversarial or even vacant. Yet none of that matters in the end. How we feel about Jesus or how close we feel to God is meaningless next to how God acts upon us. How God indeed enters our messy lives and loves us through them. Whether we want God's help or not, and how even after we've experienced some sort of resurrection, it's never perfect or impressive like an Easter bonnet. Because like Jesus, resurrected bodies are always rough in shape. You see, friends, we are bumbling through this thing called life, doing our very best some days just to get by. And in the midst of that bumbling, and in the midst of that confusion, and in the midst of that worry, God in Christ Jesus is right there. Sometimes it shows up in the form of a friend who calls just to say, I had you on my mind. Sometimes it shows up in a church member who says, I haven't seen you in a while. Are you okay? Sometimes it's the stranger at the grocery store who just smiles and says, have a good day. And sometimes it's you, reminding yourself in the mirror every morning, I can do this. I can do this. Faith is not meant to do it alone. Finally, the parable ends with a question and reaches beyond the cross and the tomb and the resurrection into the future. And we hear, and yet, when the Son of Man comes, will God find faith on earth? We may find the beginnings of an answer in the Gospel of Luke itself, where a number of people are commended for their faith. People like the centurion who believes Jesus will heal the slave even from a distance, the sinful woman who anoints Jesus' feet and loves much, friends of the paralytic who are willing to dig through a roof, the bleeding, unclean woman who touches Jesus' clothes and the crowd is healed, the Samaritan leper whose gratitude turns him back to Jesus where he falls at the feet in thanksgiving, the blind beggar later in this chapter who sees Jesus for who he is and calls him by name, and you, yes, you, you who are the unnamed in the gospel, you who are yet to come, you who have showed up right here in this very place this morning, God looks at you and says, we can do this thing called life. We can walk through this thing called faith. And we can get up tomorrow and do it over and over and over again. We are resurrected, rough shapes, bumbling, bouncing, stumbling together through life. And the good news is we get to do it together. We get to bump into one another. We get to lean on one another. We get to do it with one another. And we get to grow in faith all along the way. We get to step out in faith this day, friends, into this rainy Nashville morning and be persistent knowing that God has not called us this far along the way to leave us. God has called us as individuals in a congregation to branch out in our stewardship and continued mission so that this community And the world will forever know that the church still believes that death never has the last word. Resurrection will always bring a new. Alleluia. Amen.